Brain's shortcut manipulation. Mother turkeys are nurturing, but their care hinges on a simple trigger, the cheep cheep sound. If a chick makes this sound, the mother shows affection. If it's silent, she may ignore or harm it. Strikingly, even a predator mimic making the same sound is safe from the mother's aggression. This sound-based shortcut activates the turkey's maternal instinct. Although this may seem foolish, humans use similar shortcuts, relying on quick signals to make decisions without deep analysis. For example, we're more inclined to help if someone gives us a reason, any reason. In an experiment, a researcher found that people are more likely to comply with requests, even nonsensical ones like, "because I need to make copies," showing how easily we can be influenced by any reason provided. This tendency is often exploited by advertisers and salespeople to manipulate decisions. Additionally, people tend to associate higher prices with better quality, a belief that can be used to deceive us. For example, some souvenir shops raise prices on less popular items to make them seem more valuable. Recognizing these shortcuts helps us avoid being tricked and making poor choices. People feel a strong need to repay favors. The rule of reciprocation, the first principle of persuasion, explains our strong urge to repay favors. Simple gestures like receiving a free sample or complimentary sweets trigger this feeling. Rooted in human history, this instinct comes from ancestral resource sharing with an expectation of future reciprocity. When we don't return a favor, we feel psychological discomfort due to societal pressure. Failing to reciprocate can lead to being labeled as moochers or ingrates. This principle even extends to international relations, as seen in 1985 when Ethiopia, despite being impoverished, sent $5,000 to help Mexico City earthquake victims. In 1935, during Italy's invasion of Ethiopia, Mexico sent aid to Ethiopia, setting a precedent for reciprocal gestures. People often feel compelled to repay even small favors with larger ones. For instance, in a 1971 study, psychologist Dennis Regan had a researcher, Joe, act as a fellow participant who unexpectedly bought test subjects a 10-cent Coke. Later, Joe asked for help selling raffle tickets to win a prize. On average, participants who received a Coke without asking bought twice as many raffle tickets, valuing them at 50 cents each. This act of reciprocation sometimes went beyond personal feelings. Some participants bought tickets from Joe despite not liking him. This situation illustrates the reciprocity principle in action, where Joe's gesture of giving a free Coke created a sense of obligation, influencing others' choices. The power of reciprocity, giving and receiving. In the 1970s, the Krishna Group in the U.S. effectively used reciprocity by giving flowers to people on the street. Although some were initially annoyed, many ended up donating money to return the gesture. Reciprocity plays a vital role in how societies and relationships operate. It's essential to assess if the help you receive is genuine or if it's meant to manipulate you. Ask yourself whether you truly want to donate to a nonprofit or if you feel obligated due to a gift. Don't feel obligated to repay manipulated favors. Real gifts deserve sincere gratitude. Begin with a high request, then negotiate down. When negotiating, people often feel compelled to reciprocate concessions made by the other party. This strategy, known as rejection, then retreat, was vividly demonstrated when a Boy Scout approached to sell tickets to the annual Boy Scout circus. Initially declining the $5 ticket, the individual found themselves buying two chocolate bars priced at $1 each, after the scout retreated and offered a cheaper alternative. This incident highlights how concessions in negotiation can influence decisions. Using rejection then retreat as a persuasion tactic is powerful because it taps into our instinct to reciprocate concessions. It also leverages the contrast principle, where the difference between two successive offers appears more pronounced. For instance, when a boy first offers a $1 chocolate bar and then follows with a more expensive circus ticket, the ticket seems significantly more valuable. This technique is straightforward to apply. Begin negotiations with an offer likely to be rejected, then retreat to your desired outcome. Your counterpart is likely to view this retreat as a concession and feel compelled to reciprocate in kind. Negotiation strategy and historical example. Labor negotiators often begin negotiations with extreme demands, gradually retreating to secure concessions. However, research shows there's a limit to how extreme your starting offer can be. If it's too outrageous, you risk being seen as dishonest, and the other side may not reciprocate concessions. This tactic, known as rejection then retreat, has had significant consequences, even affecting presidents. In 1972, during the Watergate scandal, President Richard Nixon's re-election seemed assured. Yet, G. Gordon Liddy convinced the Committee to Re-elect the President, CRP, to give him $250,000 to break into the offices of the Democratic National Committee. Liddy took a huge risk with a strategy of proposing outrageous plans, then backing down. Initially suggesting a $1 million plan involving kidnapping, mugging, and prostitution, his later proposals, though still scandalous, seemed less extreme by comparison. The Committee to Re-elect the President, CRP, felt compelled to reward Liddy for toning down his initial proposal. Eventually, a $250,000 burglary scheme, which once sounded bad, seemed moderate compared to the original. This scandal led to the capture of the burglars and ultimately forced Nixon to resign. Increased scarcity boosts desire. Only available for a short time. Final opportunity. Sale ends in 2 days. Advertisers often stress that a sale won't last forever for a reason. The scarcity principle suggests that when something is hard to get, we're more likely to want it. Humans find limited opportunities more valuable because we dislike missing out. In 1982, a study led by a student found that when shoppers were told about a limited-time sale on meat, they bought 3 times more than when there was no time limit. This effect was even stronger when people were informed that only a few knew about the sale. The scarcity of both the offer and the information itself caused shoppers to purchase 6 times more meat compared to those who were unaware of these limits. Scarcity becomes a significant factor influencing our choices when it creates a sense of urgency and exclusivity. Scarcity exerts a strong influence on our decisions when 2 conditions are met. People tend to desire something more when its availability suddenly decreases, rather than when it remains consistently low. This explains why revolutions often erupt during sharp declines in living conditions. Competition always excites us. Whether in auctions, romances, or real estate deals, the fear of losing to a competitor often transforms our attitude from hesitant to eager. For instance, real estate agents frequently inform buyers about multiple interested parties, whether it's true or not. In competitive situations, even experienced negotiators can get caught up in a rush to secure scarce goods. Barry Diller, an executive at ABC, known for his success in entertainment, made a historic move in 1973. He paid a record $3.3 million to broadcast The Poseidon Adventure just once on TV. This was the highest amount ever paid for a single airing of a film. ABC later estimated a loss of $1 million from this deal. Avoid auction frenzy with rational buying. For the first time, TV rights were sold openly in a bidding war where competitors' offers were visible. This led to an irrational competition among buyers. After the chaos settled, ABC's rivals were relieved they hadn't won. Meanwhile, Diller firmly stated ABC would avoid such auctions in the future. To combat the urge caused by scarcity, we should always ask ourselves if we truly need something for its practical use, like taste or function, or if we simply desire it irrationally. When scarcity is used against us, the answer often leans towards the latter. The allure of bans. The saying that people desire what they can't have has some truth to it. Parents often see this with their kids. A toy becomes much more appealing if the child is told not to play with it. This happens in the adult world too. Censorship illustrates this well. It's like a double-edged sword. When something is forbidden, it seems more valuable than if it were easily accessible. In the 1970s, a study at the University of North Carolina found that when college students were informed that a speech against co-ed dorms would be canceled and banned on campus, they became more supportive of the idea, even without hearing the speech. Similarly, research in courtrooms shows that juries can be swayed by censored details. It's known that when juries know an insurance company will cover costs, they tend to give higher compensation to plaintiffs. If the judge instructs them to ignore the fact that the defendant has insurance, juries often award even higher damages. The forbidden information seems more significant to them, causing them to react strongly, much like how a forbidden toy becomes incredibly desirable to a child. The Romeo and Juliet effect. In Dade County, Florida, when laundry detergents with phosphate were banned, people didn't just accept it quietly. Instead, they began smuggling and hoarding these detergents. Strangely, the banned detergents became even more desirable. This phenomenon is called the Romeo and Juliet effect. It's named after the famous lovers because it shows how trying to keep people apart can make them want to be together even more. A study in Colorado found that when parents tried to interfere in their children's romantic relationships, it often made the couples feel more in love and eager to get married. When the interference decreased, these intense feelings also tended to fade. Similar to how we value things more when they become scarce, the Romeo and Juliet effect highlights that humans often cherish opportunities more when they feel they might lose them. Stay true to our promise. When you're at the beach, relaxing under the sun, and craving a cool swim, the dilemma of what to do with your wallet and keys often arises. Research by psychologist Thomas Moriarty suggests that asking for help is more effective than you might expect. In his study, when beachgoers witnessed a staged theft of a radio from a nearby towel, only 20% reacted. However, when the owner first requested, "Please watch my things," a remarkable 95% of people became vigilant, even chasing down the thief to reclaim the radio forcefully. Humans naturally desire consistency. We want our actions to match our words. According to research, this drive is so strong that it sometimes overrides concerns for our safety. Consistency makes life simpler because it allows us to respond to situations based on our previous decisions, reducing the need to make new choices each time. This automated process helps us steer through the complexities of daily life more easily. The power of commitment. Studies reveal that once we pledge to something, whether through words or actions, we tend to stay true to that commitment. Publicly declaring our intentions is especially influential. A clear example is seen in history after the Korean War. Chinese interrogators used this strategy on American prisoners of war. They started by asking them to agree to small requests, like writing and signing statements such as "America is not perfect." This tactic aimed to ensure cooperation by leveraging the prisoner's commitment once they made those initial small concessions. In the prison camp, when these statements were read aloud, fellow prisoners often accused the speaker of being a collaborator. Hearing this, the speaker began to believe it too and started cooperating more with the Chinese interrogators. He adjusted how he saw himself to match what he had written down earlier. The act of putting his thoughts in writing played a crucial role. There's undeniable power in signing your own words. The foot-in-the-door sales technique relies on getting people to agree to a small request first. This initial commitment changes how they see themselves, from a potential customer to an actual customer. It's not about making a profit right away, but about creating a mindset that makes larger purchases more likely later on. So when a salesperson asks you to buy something small, even if it's inexpensive, think twice about the bigger picture. Value increases with effort. From tribes in Africa to college fraternities in the United States, when new members join a group, initiation rituals often involve pain and degradation, and sometimes even death. Efforts to stop these harsh practices always face strong opposition. Simply put, Groups that perform these rituals understand that when people work hard to achieve something, they tend to value it more. The effort required to become a member makes individuals more committed to the group. College fraternities have resisted turning their initiations into community service, like helping at hospitals. They prefer members to choose to participate in these rituals without external justifications like, "It's for the community." By making this inner choice, they convince themselves it's worthwhile, elevating their opinion of the group they're joining. Research suggests such personal decisions lead to more lasting change compared to actions driven by outside pressure. Use persuasive tactics. Professionals in compliance, like salespeople, sometimes use tactics such as the lowball trick to influence us internally. For instance, a car dealer might offer an incredibly low price on a car to prompt us to make an immediate purchase decision. The dealer understands that once we take the car for a test drive, we are likely to find additional reasons independently, such as its fuel efficiency or attractive color, that reinforce our decision to buy. Sometimes, just as we're about to seal a great deal on a car, the seller withdraws their initial offer, citing a bank error or another weak excuse, and proposes a higher price instead. Despite this tactic, we often still buy the car because we justify our decision internally. This reflects our need for consistency. To protect yourself from such tactics, simply ask if you would still buy the car knowing its true price from the start. If the answer is no, it's best to walk away. Seek social proof in uncertainty. Laugh tracks are often used in sitcoms to make us laugh more, even at jokes that aren't very funny. Research shows that hearing laughter, even if it's artificial, makes us laugh longer and more frequently. This happens because of something called social proof. We tend to follow what others do to decide what's right. When we hear laughter on a show, it convinces us that the jokes are funny because others find them funny. So we end up laughing along too, even if the jokes aren't that great. Companies and churches often use strategies to influence people by showing what others are doing. For example, church ushers might put money in the collection basket before the service to make it look like everyone is donating. Companies advertise products as best-selling or fastest-growing to make customers think others are buying them too. This social proof is especially powerful when people feel unsure. The tragic case of Kitty Genovese. In a famous case from 1964, Kitty Genovese was tragically murdered outside her New York apartment. Despite her cries for help, neighbors heard but did not intervene or call the police. Media reports criticized the neighbors, causing public outrage over their apparent indifference to Kitty's plight. In a notable case, neighbors either shouted from their windows or called the police. However, this incident exemplifies bystander inaction, where people are less likely to assist a victim when others are around. Psychologists believe two main reasons contribute to this phenomenon. Firstly, when many people are present, each person feels less personally responsible. They might think, maybe someone else will take action. Secondly, identifying a real emergency can be challenging, especially in cities. It's hard to tell if someone sitting on the street needs medical help or has simply had too much to drink. Similarly, distinguishing between a scream of distress and the excitement of a sports game can be difficult. In uncertain situations, people often look to others for cues on how to act. During the Kitty Genovese case, neighbors peeking from their windows subtly signaled that inaction was acceptable. If you find yourself in an emergency in a crowd, the best way to get help is to single out someone and ask for assistance. For example, directly telling someone, "You, in the green shirt, call an ambulance," ensures they understand the urgency and responsibility without needing approval from others. This approach significantly increases the likelihood that they will assist you promptly. Influence from similar people. People often look to others for guidance on how to behave. This tendency is most pronounced when we observe someone similar to ourselves, which explains why teenagers are highly influenced by their peers' opinions and fashion choices. This inclination to emulate others also has a troubling effect. After highly publicized suicides, there is a significant increase in deaths from airplane and car crashes in the following week. After reading about suicide in the newspaper, some people decide to end their own lives in imitation. Some choose to make their deaths look accidental, often while driving or, disturbingly, flying. This leads to an increase in mysterious crashes. These individuals weren't necessarily suicidal before reading the news. Studies show that for every front-page suicide, about 58 people who would otherwise have continued living end up taking their own lives. This phenomenon is called the Werther effect, named after a book from the 18th century. The book caused a wave of suicides across Europe, with people seemingly copying the actions of the main character. Beware of fake social proof in ads. When young people hear about a peer's suicide, they may be more inclined to consider the same tragic action themselves. On the other hand, older individuals tend to react similarly to news of elderly suicides. This effect shows how powerful media influence can be on different age groups. In less tragic scenarios, marketers often use ads featuring fake interviews with regular people to endorse products. They do this because most consumers relate to endorsements from people who seem like them. To avoid being tricked by this tactic, stay alert for scripted endorsements. These are often easy to spot because the conversations sound rehearsed. When you notice this, it's best to avoid supporting such companies in the future. They shouldn't be rewarded for trying to manipulate consumers with fake social proof. We comply with likable people. If you go to a Tupperware party, notice the clever use of compliance tricks. It starts with reciprocity. Every attendee gets a gift before buying begins. Then, there's social proof. Each purchase made shows that others are also buying the product. The invitation comes from a friend, not the Tupperware presenter, making it hard to say no. Generally, we are more agreeable toward people we like. By using our friendships like Tupperware does, savvy compliance experts know how to make us like someone. For instance, they use flattery and find ways to relate to us. Say, that's a nice tie, and blue is my favorite too. Another key factor is physical attractiveness, which creates a halo effect, making us perceive attractive people as smart, kind, and honest. Surprisingly, we even tend to vote for more attractive candidates. One strong reason we like someone is working together toward a shared goal or seeing them as on the same team. The well-known good cop / bad cop interrogation method uses this. After the bad cop is harsh, the good cop is kind and supportive, appearing as a friend and confidant, which often leads to a confession. Likeability also depends on what we associate with people. For example, weathermen have received death threats for accurately predicting bad weather because they are linked to it. Conversely, if we hear something while eating tasty food, we tend to link the topic with the positive feelings from the food. To protect against likability manipulation, ask yourself if you like someone or something unusually quickly. If you do, it could be a sign of manipulation, and you should be cautious. We obey symbols of authority. From birth, we learn to always obey authority figures, like teachers, doctors, or police officers. This strong habit of compliance is so deep that we often obey without thinking or questioning. In the 1960s, renowned psychologist Stanley Milgram conducted a study showing that volunteers would give potentially lethal electric shocks to others just because an authority figure told them to. Although no one was harmed, the experimenters were shocked by the results. A nurse received written instructions from a doctor, an authority figure, to treat a patient with an ache in his right ear. Administer the medicine in our ear. She mistakenly put the drops in the patient's anus, and neither she nor the patient questioned how this would help his earache. This incident shows how authority can suppress independent thinking. When we lack solid proof of someone's authority, we rely on symbols to gauge it. Titles, for instance, wield considerable influence over how we view others. When confronted with a professor, we instinctively show more respect and are more likely to accept their views. Surprisingly, studies reveal that we even perceive them as physically taller. Clothing and accessories also play a crucial role as symbols of authority. In Milgram's famous experiment, the white lab coat and clipboard of the authority figure persuaded participants to obey and carry out actions they might otherwise have questioned. Similarly, con artists exploit these symbols, uniforms, suits, and even clerical robes to deceive others effectively. Understand authority and avoid abuse. Certain authority figures, such as judges or specific physicians, deserve our attention. However, it's crucial to know how authority can be misused. One effective defense is recognizing the power of authority. To determine whether an authority figure should be trusted, ask yourself two simple questions. Is this person truly an expert or just pretending? Are their credentials appropriate for this situation? For instance, actor Robert Young gained fame as Dr. Marcus Welby on TV and endorsed Sanka Coffee, where people saw him as a doctor even though he only played one. Simply asking if his credentials applied to recommending Sanka Coffee would have revealed he wasn't a real authority. Can we trust this authority to be honest here? Are they looking out for our best interests or their own? For example, a waiter might know a lot about the restaurant's wine list, but might also benefit from recommending pricier wines. Key points. 1. People feel a strong need to repay favors due to our deep-rooted reciprocity instinct. 2. Concessions in negotiations create a sense of obligation, influencing people to reciprocate. 3. Scarcity makes things more desirable, especially when opportunities feel limited or exclusive. 4. Consistency drives us to stick to our commitments, even when it's not in our best interest. 5. We value things more when we put effort into obtaining them, like in initiation rituals.